Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to be joined to begin the 8 o'clock hour by our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2, as we do each and every Monday. And then at 9 o'clock, Darren McFarland will join us. So lots to get to coming up with Darren. The Rex Rant later this hour at 7:45. So we're off and running here today on this Monday morning. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Ty texting in. Joe, if you have a contact with Dan Campbell, let him know it'll be okay. This is what it's like to be a Lions fan 62 years in a row. Crying laughing emoji.
Again, this is my tribute today. I just filled this cup, this goblet of greatness.
The Detroit Lions goblet is out today.
That's right. Delicious.
It is really kind of amazing.
Close to you, Lions.
How they continue to find ways to lose these games. I mean, the Baltimore thing was just, I don't know that anything will top that this year, but the Kirk Cousins leading the Vikings down the field and then the game-winning field goal yesterday. It's a tough one. Tough one up there in Detroit.
Well, Mike Tirico, I didn't realize that the final score of the 1970 game against the Saints was also 19-17, which of course was the Ravens score in the 66 yarder.
That is correct.
And then of course also yesterday, 19-17. I will say though, there was a very Lions-like coaching decision. So it's the classic rush three when you just, all you need to do is make one play. So drop eight and rush three. So let Kirk Cousins sit there all day. Someone's going to break open. He hits Thielen with a great pass. Don't affect him at all. And you pay for it. And that is somehow that has been passed down from generations of Lions coaches to the next one. It's pretty amazing.
It's a tradition. Yes. God bless the Detroit Lions. Are they worse than Jacksonville? Because like you can make a case that Detroit should have won at least two, maybe three games by now, and they continue to not do so.
Well, yeah. It seems like he does have them like playing pretty solid defense, which is surprising because they don't have good players, and the good players they have are hurt. So yeah. I don't know. He must be doing some good things in there, you know, coaching them up on D and stuff like that. The NFL is so hard because I would be impressed that they did what they did against the Vikings. Although the Vikings just scored 7 against the Browns. And by the way, the Browns just gave up a million to the Chargers. So yeah. Don't ask me to understand this league.
Yep. It's quite something. The NFL, it's truly a week to week league. And speaking of that, obviously lots of negativity around the Titans and the offensive side of the ball. After the Jets game where they gave up 7 sacks and they couldn't get much going in the red zone against the Jets, you end up with 37 points on the board yesterday. Now, of course, there was a defensive touchdown in there as well. But overall, what did you think of the Titans' offense yesterday, Joe Rexrode? Tannehill finishing 14 of 22, 197 yards and a touchdown. Derrick Henry, 29 carries, 130 yards, 3 touchdowns on the ground.
Yeah, well, I thought that, first of all, I thought the Jaguars did a good job on Derrick Henry. They really did most of the day. You know, then it starts to loosen up again in the second half. As we see this over and over again. But even, again, into the fourth quarter, they were rallying and swarming and tackling him well and, you know, doing a good job. And then, of course, he eventually breaks a defense. I thought, again, the Jags, I mean, the game plan was obvious. This is, and the Jaguars are not as good as the Jets up front, so keep that in mind. I mean, I think that's an, you know, like an important point to make. Like, they are, you know, they're not good. They're not good on D. They're bad. So you have to move the ball and score them. They had some weird busts. I mean, the Michael Pruitt touchdown, that's just,
yeah,
you know, that's just a total bust. And now, I one thing I did like from yesterday, I liked Todd Downing's day. I liked his day. I thought that they were creative and they had some interesting stuff in there. I mean, hey, you know, you get a chance to have Cam Batson in the Wildcat, and you got to take it. But they had some creative plays, and I thought in the red zone in particular, where they looked more like the Titans have looked the last couple of years, they, you know, they finished drives in the red zone. You know, obviously Bullock had to kick the one field goal. And you know, which was a weird, I thought that they could have actually moved in for a touchdown at the end of the first half, but for the most part, they were good in the red zone. Like I said, Marcus Johnson, you bring AJ Brown back, get a little bit more from Firkser, 4 targets, 3 catches, 33 yards. Overall, to me, it just comes down to, you know, Tannehill, those numbers aren't good, but I thought he played well. I thought he played better than his numbers. I can't understand how he and Vrabel both took the delay of game at the beginning of the game. You know, it's 3rd and 11.
Yeah.
And, you know, Urban Meyer's over there all pumping his fists and all excited, and like, pop a time. It's the first half. Pop a timeout. Now, if not Tannehill, then Vrabel. But they didn't. So they go to 3rd and 16, and, you know, Urban's all jacked up. That's the only time all day that he was like happy about his defense. But it's all there for them to be good. And I would think that the Todd Downing concern going back to the Raiders season, I think that's fading a bit. I think overall he's done pretty well. And it is a lot of moving parts, a lot of people missing. You get it all back. It comes down to that offensive line. What does it look like? How much better can it get? Because it still has a ways to go. There was still some, you know, just some twists that just go completely unblocked yesterday. And some bad moments in pass protection. And Roger Saffold is – and that shoulder is good for him rallying each week to play,
yeah.
But it's obviously a big problem.
Oh, it's a big problem, and it continues to be a big problem every week. You know, 3 sacks yesterday allowed by the Titans. And to your point earlier in the show, I mean, it's pretty clear Jacksonville was going to bring pressure continuously, and they did yesterday. So, you know, you go a step down from 7 sacks to 3 sacks – I guess that looks like pretty good improvement from the Titans offensive line. But overall, from the offensive line standpoint, what did you think of the guys up front yesterday against the Jags? Albeit a much less talented Jags front as well.
I mean, there were a couple of times where, again, Lawan kind of got caught flat-footed, and it's just so surprising to see that. But I think he's coming along. You know, like, I tried to watch Nate Davis a fair amount, and – in the run game a couple times, he just obliterated somebody. you know, he had some great moments, but then also still in pass protection, it's, you know, he had some bad moments. So I think it's – and Questenberry, I mean, Questenberry, you're going to have to help him a fair amount, you know, over there, depending on who's rushing. So, yeah, it was better. It can still get a lot better than that. And I do think that if, you know, the Titans can get it all together on the outside, then you have, again, you're going to win. You know, you're going to win more often. They couldn't win in New York. The Jets knew it on the outside, and that made things a lot easier. You get AJ Brown back out there. Now Marcus Johnson. We'll see this week on Julio Jones. They could really, you know, how big would it be for the Titans to have, like, Julio Jones, you know, Bud Dupree, Amani Hooker back for the Bills game? You know, they need those guys. Those are key guys in this team.
Yeah.
But some of the guys up front, it just comes down to, like, are you going to be healthy and are you going to play better?
So are we naming the Cam Batson Wildcat the Wild Bat? You know, they've got the King Cat with Derrick Henry that they've thrown out there. I saw the Twitter conversation yesterday of the Wild Bat. Is that what we're going with?
Apparently. So apparently Mickey Ryan gets credit for that. But, yeah, I like it. I like the Wild Bat. Now, will we ever see it again? I don't know. But I thought he looked pretty good running it.
Hey, 7.5 a carry, man. Came back to get it done.
That's right. Two carries, 15 yards, had a nice 11-yarder in there.
That's right.
Yeah, why not? No, I think Todd Downing, I think he had a good day, and it's fine. So, I think most of the concerns are on the other side of the ball, other than, that offensive line in pass protection. And also, just tight end. Again, like Firkser, Firkser got in there a little bit more yesterday. They need more of that.
Yep.
I think Jeff Swaim has just really struggled. Michael Pruitt, hey, man, the guy, that's pretty amazing. Make the case he's the Titans' best tight end, and no one wanted him. He's out there, and the Titans finally take him back, and he's key. Well, pretty amazing.
We've talked about how many injuries they've had. Michael Pruitt continuing to make plays. Touchdown yesterday on a 14-yard catch. He was wide open on that play. And then Chester Rogers, didn't do much yesterday, but that was a pretty big 26-yard catch that he had as well. Just one opportunity for Chester Rogers in the running game. But a guy that, as you start to get some more bodies back and maybe Marcus Johnson takes a bigger role, hopefully get Julio back at some point, and then A.J. Brown fully healthy, I would imagine that Chester Rogers' role in the receiving game probably going to go down a little bit, but he's made some big plays for this Titans team so far this year.
No, he has. He's been important. But, I think you're probably right. And with Josh Reynolds, you see the difference there. And this is, I think, how it would have gone had he never gotten hurt. And who knows? Right now, he might be one of the stories of this team. Marcus Johnson comes out in his first week, and he gets 5 targets, 3 catches for 52.
Yep.
A.J. Brown got targeted 6 times, 3 catches for 38. One target for Josh Reynolds and an 8-yard catch. So you wonder if his role is about to – dissipate with Julio Jones coming back. Of course, you also don't know when that will be. When the week before there was no sign of him, you just never know. Now, that was the case with A.J. Brown the week earlier, and, of course, last week he was out there. So there's a lot of movement at receiver. But overall, Marcus Johnson is going to be a real nice third receiver after the big two if they ever get it all on the field together.
ESPN 94.9 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in this Saturday as Nashville SC takes on DC United. Pregame starts at 6:15 and the match begins at 6:30. When we come back, we'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, The Game. That was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel after the game yesterday discussing Marcus Johnson. Joe Rexler, Marcus Johnson, 3 catches, 52 yards, over 17 per catch yesterday for him. Really interested to see if he can stay healthy, how they continue to use him in this offense, because he's a guy that you and many others have been very high on since the beginning of training camp, really, for the Titans. And nice showing by Marcus Johnson yesterday offensively.
Yeah, he's quick. He's got speed. Fluid mover. I like that.
That's from good.
Mike Vrabel. Fluid mover. I had to get that in the column. That's a nice term. But it's a good description of him. And also the chemistry is it picked right up. I think we asked that question last week. So it was clear that the time together was beneficial for Tannehill and Marcus Johnson. For anybody who was at training camp. So can you just pick that right up now? And I think the answer is yes. So it's going to be – I'm sure Todd Downing would love the opportunity for the first time this year to have Julio Jones, A.J. Brown, Marcus Johnson all together and see what kind of stuff he can make out of that trio. I think that's the clear top three if and when they're all healthy.
Got a lot of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. John in Nashville texting in. How about the play of Caleb Farley? He got significant playing time yesterday. Joe, what did you think of Caleb Farley and his performance yesterday?
I didn't think it was bad. you watch him. There were a couple times in the press box there where I was like, man, look at him after the play. Like, it looks like he's walking gingerly, but who knows? I mean, everybody on this team has to have some kind of injury. I think that's like a mandate in 2021. But I thought there were some times where, you know, he looked pretty good out there. Like, he looked like a guy who, as he grows, could actually help this team. I mean, it wasn't a huge glimpse. In fact, I don't have it in front of me, his snap count, but I don't think it was, you know, discouraging. And again, it would be really tough for this defense to miss Christian Fulton for a while. I suspect that's really possible.
Yep.
Given how it looked yesterday. If that's the case, you know, is that Breon Borders then stepping in? At this point, it would be, but you really would, you know, if you're a Titans fan, you'd really love to see the first round pick come in and, you know, and start to come into his own and become a contributor here in October. He had 24 snaps on defense, 34% of the total. And again, for the most part, because of injury, but it's still big to get him back from the injury, because you just never knew with that thing. And I didn't think it was discouraging.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jim texting in, was happy the Titans got the win, but then watched the Chiefs and the Bills. That's a whole different level of football that we're not ready for. Praying for the Titans to get healthy as soon as possible. Great show, guys. We appreciate you, Jim. And that's been a very popular theme on our text line so far today. Titans 3-2. Obviously, get a win yesterday against Jacksonville. The injuries have piled up. Overall, through five games, Joe Rexrode, where do you think this team is? And as they stare down the barrel now of Buffalo, Kansas City, Indianapolis, and then the LA Rams, obviously, that's a very daunting schedule that they've got coming up. Health is going to be the number one determining factor, I think, in how exactly the Titans are going to fare here, because, you know, these are games coming up where you need Bud Dupree. You need Julio Jones. There's a lot of guys you're going to need to get back quickly and to be able to play, not only play, but play at a high level and play at a high snap number as well. So that's the biggest, I think, telling factor of what we're about to see from the Titans coming up. Overall, at 3-2 right now, with the injuries that they have sustained, where do you think this Titans team is at the moment?
I think they're an okay team. I mean, they're a slightly better than average football team right now. I mean, it is good news that injuries are a big part of that, because at least there are people who can make that better.
Yeah,
there are people who can absolutely make that better. Doesn't mean that they will, but I mean, right now if this is about what they are, then they're probably a 9-10 win team. Because the schedule will get easier. Although even with this schedule, it's like, okay, are you counting at New England as a win? Are you counting at Pittsburgh as a win? It's not like are you counting the Saints? I have no idea what they're going to do week to week. You tell me Jameis Winston couldn't come in here and put a number on the Titans. I think they're a slightly above average team that right now, that line opened up 3.5. That line will be way higher than that with the Bills, Titans by the time the game comes, because the different level, I think, is with the Bills. And maybe it's not that much of a different level of Titans and Chiefs. I mean, the Chiefs defense right now is bad.
It's awful.
But the Bills, but the Bills look like they could be just about as good as anyone in the NFL right now. Their defense has gotten better. They fly around. They're good in the secondary. You know, the pass rush looked good. You know, Gregory Rousseau, Miami kid, there was one of the guys, Titans, one of those first-round picks who's making a difference for a team. Boy, he looks good. Ed Oliver in there. I mean, they've got a salty defense. They look like they're back to a good defense. Last year they had issues, right? And then Josh Allen is just – He's awfully good. I mean, it's interesting because I've seen him play live 3 times the last 3 years, and he was bad.
Yeah.
I mean, he was bad, period, early. As a rookie, he was terrible. I was like, this is a terrible pick, Bills. Again, you can improve. It is possible to improve while you're in the NFL, although some people like Sam Darnold apparently will never do that. I had to get that shot in. But he was bad. He was bad last year. You know, I mean, he made some plays, but he just – that bad pick, and he just But the guy is he's an MVP candidate. So there's a lot of things where that game looks rough for the Titans. It's also Monday night. It's home under the lights. And you never know what's going to happen. But I don't see how they compete if they don't get some of these people back. And if they don't just really shore things up defensively, which we keep talking about and keeps not happening for 60 minutes of a football game.
I got a texter that says, what's up with Jim Schwartz? I thought he was helping with the Titans defense. He is.
He's around.
Yeah.
He's there. You know, you don't, I mean, he's very much in the role that was announced when he came in. You know, he's in, he's a consultant. He's staying in the game, staying involved. We said it when he was hired. You know, if it goes real bad on defense this year, you'll start hearing that name more just from the outside.
Oh, yeah.
You start hearing that, let's just put Jim Schwartz in charge of the D. I mean, I don't think that's a thought process at all. But I guess you could say he isn't making that much of a difference right now. Maybe he is, and it would be way worse if he wasn't here. I don't know.
Tune in during the 8 a.m., noon, and 4 p.m. hours each weekday this week for your chance to qualify to win a pair of tickets to see Monday Night Football on October the 18th in Nashville. When you hear the Monday Night theme song, be caller number 2 at 615-737-1025, and you will qualify to win the tickets. Two winners will be announced on Friday at 5:30. When we come back, could the Tennessee Volunteers actually be good at football? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. What a game for the Tennessee Vols once again on Saturday. They get it done 45-20 against the South Carolina Gamecocks. Tennessee improves to 4-2 on the season, 2-1 in the conference. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. And Joe, it was yet another scenario for the Vols on Saturday where the game was pretty much over in the first quarter. They roll off 28 in the first quarter, did really whatever they wanted to do offensively. Some big plays defensively for Tennessee, coupled with some absolutely just mind-bogglingly stupid play calls by South Carolina on that side of the ball. And the game was pretty much over after the first quarter. You know, Hendon Hooker, another big day, 17 of 23 through the air, 225, 3 touchdowns. They ran the ball 20 times with Hendon Hooker as well for 66 yards. Tyon Evans, 119 on the ground. And Tennessee's offense, man, are they fun to watch. And they are putting up the points. And it's been a heck of a couple of weeks for this Tennessee Volunteers team. I guess my question is, Joe Rexroad, is this more to do with the quality of opponent in Missouri and South Carolina? Or could this Tennessee Vols football team, and particularly this offense, actually be pretty good in the SEC?
Oh, the offense is good. Hendon Hooker is now the most efficient QB in the SEC, by the way.
Yep.
And there are some good QBs in this league. You know, the 20 carries, that's an interesting stat you bring up. Now, a few of those were scrambles on pass plays that turn into rushes, but that is a lot. And at this point, it's like, don't get that guy hurt now. Yeah. He has really, you know, it's a great example. Look, when Joe Milton came in late, Hendon Hooker comes in, previous staff, and then all the stuff happens. And then the new staff brings in Joe Milton, and they had recruited him. And you had to know, like, it was already, like, you were already behind, even though you'd been there earlier, right? And then Joe Milton gets the job and all that stuff. Look, we see it all the time. I mean, shoot, we see kids bail at halftime these days. You know, he hung in there, kept working, and got his opportunity, and he's run with it. He's been really good. This is a good offense. This is a good offense in college football. This is a good offense in the SEC. I'm really looking forward to Saturday night in Knoxville.
Yep.
And I watched also a fair amount of Arkansas Ole Miss. I don't know. I don't like Ole Miss's chances to stop Tennessee whatsoever. I think Tennessee stops itself Saturday night. Now, will Tennessee stop Matt Corral and Ole Miss? Well,
probably not.
I mean, the over-under, I was like, not joking, but I was like, you know, what's the over-under on this game? I tweeted it, and people are like sending me these huge numbers, and I was like, No, it won't be that high. Well, what is it, 85 and a half?
Right now it's 79 and a half on FanDuel, and that's probably going to go up.
Okay.
But, I mean, that's that's a pretty big number.
Well, that is. But somebody had – some sportsbook had it in the 80s.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, that's – but, yeah, 79 is a huge number, but that's the kind of game it's going to be. They are an absolutely legit offense. They are fun. They're also fun on defense, and they're banged up too. And you had guys like Brandon Turnage come in and just play out of his mind with 14 tackles the other day. You know, I know it wasn't a great second half, but again, it's 38-7, and you're really like trying to just get out of there. It probably does show the struggle at times of killing clock when you're on that offense. And, you know, South Carolina did some stuff on offense in the second half. But, again, it's 38-7. Shane Beamer's over there acting like, oh, yeah, we got it, boys. It's like, dude, you're down 38-7. You got to stop on third down. Congratulations. I mean, pure garbage time. Eye-opening. The last 2 weeks, eye-opening. You talk about 100 points, 100 to 31 in the three halves. And you're talking about two games against SEC opponents who are in your division who – are basically comparable programs. I mean, whether you like it or not, they really are. And they were first half games. They were like guarantee games with what Tennessee did to those teams. So it's a lot to like and enjoy, and it's going to be a blast Saturday. Now, look, I don't know. Georgia is just – their defense is absurd. Alabama, again, who knows with this game. How the heck does Texas A&M have any pulse on offense – against them, they couldn't score a freaking touchdown against, like, Colorado.
I don't know.
And it's just – this sport is just wild sometimes. So you know what? I'm not discounting anything, including Tennessee going to Tuscaloosa and having offensive success. I do think the defense, which has been a great story, probably – due for some reality doses here in the next month.
Well, there's some games coming up on this schedule where it's going to be – very difficult for Tennessee on that side of the ball. And number one, they've got to get Tyler Barron healthy. I mean, he was not much of a factor the other day just based on health. And they brought him in for a big play, and he made the big play. Had a sack when they brought him in. But, you know, he's a guy where he and Byron Young together as a combo, I mean, you just got to have those guys healthy, really, if you're going to have any chance to generate some pass rush. But I do, like, you know, The line right now is Ole Miss by 3.5. I think that's going to be a really fun game to watch offensively. I think this Tennessee offense can score some points on pretty much everybody with the exception of Georgia. I don't know who's going to score points on Georgia this year. That defense is incredible. Do I think, you know, the win-loss total is going to change all that much? I don't know. I mean, could they get Ole Miss? Sure. I mean, they could get Ole Miss. I have my doubts. I don't think they're going to beat Kentucky. So, look, I still think they're going to end up with around 6 wins, but you got an offense that's playing as well as this one is right now. This is very encouraging, I think, if you're a Tennessee fan. And I will say this, if you're an offensive recruit, the last couple of weeks got to be a pretty good sign for you if you're Josh Heupel. Now you've got to take advantage of that and continue to build offensively. But Hendon Hooker, unquestionably the guy at quarterback right now, they're finally getting Velus Jones involved like they should be and should have been all along in this offense. He had six catches, 103 yards, and a touchdown on Saturday. There's a lot to like on the offensive side of the ball right now for Tennessee. And I tell you what, this has been, so far, the most fun Vols team to watch, at least since 2016. It's been a long time since they've been this fun to watch.
Yeah, well, you know, Jalin Hyatt getting him right away going is big, I think, because, you know, Hyatt, I mean, Tillman is a reliable guy, but Hyatt, Payton as a big play guy, Jones more consistently. There is concern about Tyon Evans. He's been running so well. They need at least one of him or Jabari Small,
yes,
you know, every game. But yeah, they are fun. They're efficient. The tempo is just a different deal. It's just a different level. Everybody tries it, but they actually have found a way to coach it to the point where when they want to go fast, it is something to behold. So I You know what? I think they're going to get seven. I think they're going to get one of the two, either Ole Miss or Kentucky. I think they got a chance to win both games. I really do. I know Kentucky looked great against LSU the other night. LSU is, it's rough with them. I think this Tennessee offense is going to challenge that Kentucky defense as well, as good as that defense is. So it's very encouraging. And to your point on recruits, you know, that was a big theme Saturday, Robbie. You know, obviously, first of all, Heupel took a long time to get to the presser. You know, Tom Crean levels of delay almost getting to his presser. But, you know, on a huge recruiting weekend, you actually, you know, if you're a Tennessee fan, you're like, all right. That's,
just take some time out there.
Yeah, because it's – I would agree. Like, how – if you're an offensive recruit, and he talked about this, like, how does that not appeal to you? How does that not appeal to you? Tennessee already has a lot of built-in advantages, and I think the you hope that that first year on the field helps you. This should absolutely be helping now. So, like, if you don't benefit from this with already being in Tennessee and with what you're doing on the field, then, you know, I do go back to, like, okay, so is Heupel just – is he just not a good recruiter? You know, yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think that's a fair question at this point. But he should be able to take advantage of this. And, look, if I'm a defensive recruit, I see opportunity, but also I like what I see with the way that defense plays too.
Look, I want to be careful with what I say here because it's six games in and you beat Missouri and South Carolina. And it's, you know, it's not like those are the upper echelon programs of the SEC, and I get all that. I've been really impressed with Josh Heupel. And you know, our thoughts on it were pretty clear when he got hired. Was not a fan of the hire. Did not think that was the way that Tennessee should go. And you know, I'm not ready yet to anoint Josh Heupel as absolutely being successful at Tennessee. There's still a long way to go, and a lot of things we're about to figure out with even the schedule they've got coming up this year. But I watched this team play, and for the most part, they just look like a really well-coached team on both sides of the ball. And it's been a long time since you've been able to say that about a Tennessee team. Now, look, again, it's early, and they very well could get exposed as they move forward here. But operationally, everything involved, and we've talked about the defense so much with, I think, still a pretty clear talent deficiency on that side of the ball. This team looks like they're a really well-coached football team right now. We'll see if that can continue as they get a little bit heavier into the meat of the SEC schedule now.
They do. No question. They still are, you know, perilously thin. I think especially, you know, some spots on defense, like, you know, Theo Jackson, you talked about him. That guy is really important.
Yeah.
Barron's really important. Elijah Simmons coming back would be very big for some of these games ahead. Like, you don't have enough guys like that, and you need the guys you do have to contribute in those games. So I think, you know, there's potentially some rough games ahead, but even like, I was thinking about this, watching that game, and having watched Florida some since then. Like, man, I really – like, they actually had a real opportunity there in that Florida game. You got to make those plays, and the game kind of flips, and I think it could have been a different game. And maybe they're going to be in a similar situation in Tuscaloosa, as crazy as it sounds, to just to put pressure on that team and at least go score for a while and see what happens. But you get, you know, the margin for error obviously goes way down now.
You know, the Tennessee fan that's just had the heartache drilled into him for the last 12 years, some of that came out on Saturday. I got a couple of text messages from some Tennessee buddies. And, yeah, you know, you're trying to enjoy the win, right? It's two big weeks for Tennessee football. And the first text I got is, man, freaking Heupel. Like, could you believe? Can you believe they started Joe Milton over Hendon Hooker at any point? Think about that Pitt game. They could be 5-1. Just immediately going to the negative of not starting Hooker sooner. Which, hey, maybe they would have been. I don't know.
Yeah, I hate that so much. In fact, you're kind of leading into my rant, but like he had so much more information than any of us had. And by all accounts, not just like what he was saying, by all accounts, Joe Milton was the best quarterback in camp, you know? So we just don't know what's going to happen on Saturdays. You don't know. And I don't know that Joe Milton is not going to be a good quarterback. I think there's a decent chance now that it's somewhere else. But I know the revisionist going back thing, just because one guy is now playing, is caught fire and is playing great now, is very annoying.
Join us in partnering with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Light the Night. Light the Night brings light to the darkness of cancer through hope, research, and support for patients and their families. Through this inspirational nationwide movement, we raise awareness and funding for groundbreaking research and treatment options to eliminate cancer. Nashville's Light the Night will be virtual and take place on November the 4th. You can learn more at lightthenight.org/TN. When we come back, it is time for the Rex Rant, Joe Rex Road's rant of the week. Coming up next, this is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for the Rex Rant here on 102.5 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember FDIC, streaming live on Twitch, on Twitter, and YouTube. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. That's one of my favorite videos on Facebook of somebody impersonating Blink-182, singing a Journey song. Just really getting Joe Rex Road in the mood today.
Mute, Joe.
Yes, darn it. Well, good. Actually, I want to mute myself. I want to be muted. I want to mute my ears. Who is that again, then?
That's just some dude on Facebook. Yeah, I don't know.
I was looking at Joe's face, just a scowl. Oh, yeah. A scowl into the Zoom camera. Yeah.
The amazing thing is they sounded better than Blink-182. So just some rando on YouTube can just immediately be better than Blink-182 at being Blink-182.
I got me a nice Blink-182 jam session on the way up to Cincy on Saturday. It was good stuff. I thought of you the whole time.
Yeah, you deserve to lose, but somehow the Bengals didn't oblige.
There we go. Joe Rexrod, your rant of the week is what?
Okay, so I got a couple things to throw out here. Okay. They're both Tennessee related. I got to be careful getting mad at Tennessee fans. They get mad very easily at me. But first of all, I have to say real quick, I thought about this when I'm watching Tennessee play. And, a lot of times I just bite my tongue on this stuff. It's so run of the mill now. And it's just it's what it is. But you know what? I still think it's okay to complain about this. So I'm going back. We talked last week about these stupid alternate uniforms.
Yep.
And it was actually my first week on Twitter was in 2011, which I was actually late to the party. And at first I was like, I will never get on Twitter, which there you go. So if you want to call me a boomer there, you got that right there. But my first game, I believe I covered was Michigan State, the 2011 game where they both looked so dumb in their idiotic uniforms. And I tweeted some stuff about it. And even friends who were my age were like, just please stop. You're out of your depth. Just give it a rest. I don't care. I hate them. Tennessee looks stupid. I mean, Al Wilson is being honored, which was great, and he should be honored. And one of the all-time great players of this program's history, and he seemed to be having a blast and had a cigar. Embrace some tradition and wear your orange. Okay, so fine. That's I just wanted to get that off.
Come on, they look fine on Saturday. It's a one game thing.
I hate all these. I hate them all. So I'm not gonna bite my tongue anymore. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm going to complain every time. Now, beyond that, and I'm kind of taking this from reaction lately, and really it's more media, honestly, than fans, because as we've talked about, I mean, there's in every college town with a big-time college program, the homerish media is thick, and boy, is it thick in Knoxville.
Yep.
But, this whole idea, can we just move past the previous people? Okay. I understand that you're always you're naturally comparing. You have a new coach, you compare your new coach to the last coach. It is, and to quote Jared Stillman, I mean, I've hated this forever too. It's new coaches, everything's good. Old coach, everything was bad. And I'm seeing a lot of this. Oh, they never were impressive under Pruitt. Never felt like this under Pruitt. Never seemed like the Vols were competent under Pruitt. So again, you don't remember the blowout win at Auburn. You don't remember the 24-7 rout of number 12 Kentucky in 2018. I mean, there was a lot of excitement that day. The huge turnaround in 2019. You can go back beyond this too. Butch had great stretches too. There was a lot of excitement, enthusiasm. I mean, when Philip Fulmer was talking about, what did he say, biting the butt out of people or whatever the heck he said?
Taking like, a bite out of people's butt. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't on an island. There was a lot of people like, hell yes, Philip, tell it. And I didn't see a bunch of anger when they signed an extension for Pruitt. All I'm saying is, like, leave toxic relationships behind, okay? Leave them behind. Let this be its own thing. Don't let your don't let yourself fall so deeply in love that everything's it's finally so. Look, what does it mean? Big picture, and when is the next trip to Atlanta? Just because then you're ready to fire everyone the next time there's a 3-game losing streak, right? So just take it easy. Forget the last guy. He had some good things. He had some good moments. There were some promising signs. He recruited some players who still matter for this team now. Chill out. Let it ride out. Have a nice, take it slow. It's a relationship. Take it slow. Stability. See what happens. Keep an open mind.
I like it.
That's all I have to say.
Very well done on the Rex rant this week. Look, there is a lot of that going on. And look, I've even been guilty of it at times as well because of Jeremy Pruitt, the way I felt about Jeremy Pruitt. Never really liked Jeremy Pruitt. But hey, you know what? He did do some good things. And I hope he's enjoying himself in New York right now because that's going
well. Well, if you never liked Jeremy Pruitt, you're not alone, but I would be willing to bet a large amount of money that you're in the minority of Vols fans.
Probably. Right?
There were some stretches where there was – and look, I think that there was cause for some optimism during stretches. He recruited really well. It is incredible, though, if we are going to play the comparison game. So I think tennis, obviously, offensively, you're talking about they were in the hundreds last year. We know that – and that's where it's like – I mean, you can sit here and say this is way more fun. There's no one who would argue that. That's for sure. But even like the defense, I think they're like overall in the 30s, and they were like 70 last year.
Yeah.
Pretty incredible that this offense that's supposed to not support a defense, you know, it's supposed to make it tougher on a defense, actually seems to complement this defense.
Yes, it does. And – you know, it's also interesting, too, when you look at Heupel. You know, defensively, that was supposed to be where they were having problems. But I think Tim Banks has done a really good job. Like, I think Tim Banks has been excellent for the talent that he brings, that they have on that side of the ball. It's fun to watch. Now, again, everybody's, you know, they're saying all this stuff now about Heupel, and that's what I was trying to get to the last segment. What's the conversation going to be like if they lose to Ole Miss, they get housed by Georgia, which they're probably going to, you lose to Kentucky? I mean, I think all three of those things are on the table. And if you go from, you know, 4-2 to 4-5, how much different does this conversation look at that point? Oh, yeah, by the way, Alabama's in there too.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I mean, and that's where you have to be realistic. I mean, look, I think just about everybody was surprised that they did what they did at Missouri. Missouri's got issues. But, I mean, last week, I know I wasn't alone saying I expect them to thump South Carolina, but I didn't expect them to be up 38-7. I mean, it was impressive. It's been impressive. So be impressed. I mean, there's a lot of good things happening, and be entertained, too. It's fun. But you're right. It doesn't mean that things aren't about to get tough. I mean, I think that this next game is it feels like, obviously you got the Lane Kiffin history, you got a night game. It's, you know, it's too bad it's not on like an ESPN or ESPN2, but it feels like, I don't know, the most anticipated game. I guess you'd go back. That's the thing. You can go back to last year when they looked good early, they thumped Missouri. And they went to Georgia.
Yep.
And there was a ton of excitement. And they were winning after a half of play at Georgia. So it feels like a long time ago. I was just about to say, when's the last time there was such anticipation for a game? Well, okay, it was last year. Things change so fast in the sport.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Paul texting in, Rex Road critiquing uniforms is very Stillman-ish. And then he quotes Stillman in the rant. Are they cousins or something? They're starting to sound a lot alike.
Oh, good Lord. All right, I guess I deserve that. I got to be careful, too. I don't want Robbie yelling at me, quoting Stillman. Jared's supposed to be he who shall not be named.
Yeah, I'm going to yell at you. Just get after you. Look at it. Last week, my mom.
Glad I'm on Zoom today.
My mom called me after that. She's like, are you okay? I was like, yeah, Mom. It's all good.
So I promise. Sweet of her.
good. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the Titans. We'll be joined by our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them, while everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino, the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.